morning, everyone. In some ways, I feel like we should just go after that. That was amazing. It's so good for our hearts, right, when we're stressed out and busy, to sing. And so I hope that you guys sing a lot in the next couple of weeks. Real quick announcement. This upcoming Monday afternoon, we are going to have a gathering for all the junior and senior women with myself and Kelly Voiles. We are going to meet in the President's Room in Probasco at 4 p.m. on Monday afternoon, and we are going to talk about what's next. You are facing graduation, you're facing life after covenant, what's next? It's a super informal time, but it's open to all junior and senior women at 4 p.m. So keep an eye out for an email, and there will probably be some more information coming out soon about that. So honestly, I really wanted to have a squirrel story for you today. I kid you not, I have been looking everywhere for squirrels. Apparently, they only flock to Chaplain Lowe's yard. I've been looking for them for stories, but because I don't have squirrels to talk about, I do want to talk about stress today. Yes. Squirrel stress. He gets to talk about all the fun things. But more specifically, I want to talk about what Jesus has to do with our stress. It feels apropos. You all are most likely experiencing stress on various levels. This is a really stressful time of the semester. You're finishing up papers and projects. You are beginning to study for final exams, packing up your rooms, securing summer jobs and internships. Maybe some of you are planning a wedding. There's a lot on your plates. Add to those elements, the list I just named, the fact that we live in a world with smartphones where you're completely connected at all times, 24-hour news cycles, and social media. And then not to mention the emotional stress that all of us carry, those things that weigh us down or worry us or trouble us. The reality is that stress is more often than not something that we deal with on a daily basis as Americans. And the truth is, I wish I could say this is not true, but the truth is, this will not be the last time you are stressed. Stress is a part of the human experience. And actually, God created us with stress responses for our own good and protection. So it's not all bad. But when we live in sort of a chronic state of stress, we can see how that's definitely a part of the fall. Excuse me, allergies, people. Anybody else? Tim? Yeah, when we experience stress, think about what you do when you experience stress. We might be tempted to deal with it by distraction, like shopping or eating or numbing ourselves, like taking really long naps or binge watching your Netflix shows, or by procrastinating or avoiding the source of stress altogether. There are also good and helpful ways to manage stress. You've heard about these, I'm sure. Exercise, get outside, spend time with friends, laughter. After this morning, I would add singing. Right? I'm a big fan of those things. It is good to try and manage stress because stress can make us feel exhausted and grumpy. It is not fun to be under stress. But what if stress presents a unique opportunity for us to meet Jesus? What if our experience of stress is actually an invitation to a deeper relationship with Him? I want to look at two stories found in the Gospels to help us get at these questions. The first one is in John chapter 20. It's a familiar story about a friend of Jesus, Mary Magdalene. In the story, it picks up after the death and burial of Jesus, and Mary is, I would say, the epitome of stress. She is overwhelmed with grief and loss, and she's feeling disoriented at the death of her friend Jesus just 3 days before. It is likely that she is very afraid, confused, exhausted. She is experiencing deep stress. The passage then, it picks up and it tells us that one morning, Mary goes to the tomb where Jesus was buried, and upon arriving there, she finds out that the stone has been rolled away and the body of Jesus is gone. She was stressed before, But that realization, it sends her into a panic. We can hear the panic in her voice as she tells the other disciples. This is in John 20, verse 2. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. And what happens next is actually really interesting. Mary's stress spreads, because actually that's what anxiety does. It's contagious. So Peter and John in the story, they feel her panic, and they pick it up, and what do? They run as fast as they can to the tomb, only to find it exactly as she said. The heightened stress in this story, it's palpable. You can feel it. While Peter and John return home, Mary stands there at the tomb weeping. In fact, it seems that Mary is so lost in her grief that when she sees two angels sitting at the tomb, she doesn't appear shocked. She just tells them why she's crying. They have taken away my Lord. And they took him away, they killed him, and now they have stolen his body, and I do not know where it is. What happens next is beautiful. Jesus appears on the scene. The resurrected Jesus appears on the scene. But we, as the reader, we know it's him. Mary does not recognize him. Which brings me to our second story. Another place, actually, where Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, is not immediately recognized. In Luke chapter 24, we read a story that takes place actually on the same day, the first Easter morning. Luke tells us that on that day, two people, a couple perhaps, was traveling about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem to a village named Emmaus. They were walking and talking, we are told, deep in conversation, trying to process all that had happened over the weekend. We can imagine maybe the lump in their throat as they remembered Jesus on the cross. Maybe they felt angry at the injustice of his death. Maybe they talked about their memories of Jesus healing the sick and laughing and welcoming children. Likely, though, they were stressed. They had been on a journey to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, and instead of celebrating Passover, they watched Jesus die. They were at the very least deep in thought, we're told this, and processing all of the events of the weekend. Now, we aren't actually given the details of the conversation, but Luke does tell us that while they were in conversation, the resurrected Jesus suddenly appears next to them and actually falls in step with them and starts walking with them on the road. And then the text gives, again, the reader an interesting insight in verse 16. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. To be fair, the text does not tell us why Mary or why these travelers couldn't recognize Jesus. But I don't think it's crazy to imagine that their stress and anxiety contributed to their inability to see Jesus for who he was. That's what stress and anxiety do in our lives. They often block our ability to be aware of God's presence. Stress can turn our heads down and our gaze inward to the point that we might miss the presence of God with us at all times. And what's more, as I said before, this kind of stress, it's contagious. It actually begins to seep out of us, and it's easily picked up by others. We need something or someone to break the cycle of contagious stress. And in both of these stories, Jesus does exactly that. And he does it in two ways. So first, Jesus asks questions. Jesus asks questions. If you pay attention, you will start to notice in the Gospels that Jesus constantly asks questions throughout his earthly ministry. In fact, according to one count, I haven't done this myself, but I want to. According to one count, Jesus asks 307 different questions throughout the gospel narratives. He is the master question asker, and he knows how to ask really good questions. So for Mary, he asks her two questions. Why are you weeping? And whom are you seeking? And for the travelers on the road, the question Jesus poses is similar. What is this conversation you are holding with each other as you walk? These profound questions do a couple of things. First, they stop the sort of the anxiety and stress downward spiral. Questions break through our internal chaos for just a moment. In this way, curiosity is actually a powerful antidote to stress. Second, these questions invite both Mary and the couple on the road to Emmaus to pause long enough to notice the anxiety and then to name how they are trying to deal with it. These questions present an opportunity to call it what it is. These types of questions throughout the Gospels get straight to the heart of what's often causing our stress. They are invitations to pay attention to what's going on beneath the surface. Notice that Jesus doesn't tell Mary to stop crying and like to get her act together, right? And he doesn't just jump right in with the travelers on the road and tell them who he is. But he does ask them to pause long enough to name the stirrings in their hearts, and then to figure out what it is that they're trying to do with those movements in their hearts. Right? On the road to Emmaus, Jesus wants to know what is occupying their thoughts and what is concerning their hearts. What are they discussing? Friends, in our stress, I actually think that Jesus asks us similar questions. What's heavy on our heart? What are we after? What are we looking for? What is occupying our thoughts and our conversations? Often our stress is connected to those same deeper longings in our hearts, and Jesus is inviting us, just as he did to Mary and the travelers, to pause and to consider those deeper longings. He is inviting us to pause and consider our stress and then how we are trying to deal with it. We just need to take a second to maybe listen and a willingness to be curious about our own stress. Are you stressed because circumstances feel out of control? Are you stressed because you are afraid of what others might think? Are you stressed because you are afraid to fail? Are you stressed because you think that everything depends on you? Are you stressed because you are afraid to say no and maybe disappoint other people? Are you stressed because money has too strong a hold of your heart? Are you striving to achieve your own plan and your own agenda? Stress can be an opportunity to pause and let Jesus ask us those very uncomfortable and yet very important questions. What is burdening your heart? What are you seeking? We may realize as we pause that our stress is actually a result of seeking other loves apart from Jesus. So let stress be a moment in which we consider and then reorient those loves. What question is Jesus asking you this morning about your stress? Okay, secondly, Jesus breaks into the stress in these stories with his presence. In Mary's case, Jesus simply says her name. He says, Mary. And it is only then that Mary recognizes Jesus for who he is. What's amazing is that in that moment, everything changes for her. Right? We can almost sense the stress and the worry and the fear fading away. She is deeply relieved when she sees that her friend, Jesus, is standing right there in front of her. When she realizes that he is alive and that resurrected Jesus knows her and calls her by name. At that moment, Mary is changed. She is no longer anxious, stressed, or fearful. Actually, on the contrary, she is sent out as the first missionary to bear witness about the resurrection. Being known by Jesus changed everything for her. Okay, similarly, for the pair on the road to Emmaus, what does Jesus do? He shares a meal with them. He sits down to fellowship with them, to eat, and to linger over food. And in that hour of fellowship, Luke records that Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And that echo of the Last Supper, which we surely pick up on there, is very intentional. Because remembering that Jesus has given his very body and blood for us is completely connected to our ability to be free from anxiety and stress. We realize how intensely we are loved and how deeply we are known by Jesus, the one who gave up his very life for us. And y'all, because he died, we know that God is not against us, that he is for us. That is how we can move forward in stress. So think about for a minute the thing that stresses you out the most. They might be circumstantial, like final exams or a job interview. They might be emotional, like a strained relationship or significant loss that you're still grieving. Perhaps your battle with ongoing sin causes you a lot of stress. Or maybe your feelings of apathy, you don't know what to do with those. That makes you stressed. I believe, though, that our stress can be an invitation to first identify and then name what's going on. And then the next step is then that we move to this statement that Jesus died so I don't have to fill in the blank. What would you put in the blank? Jesus died so I don't have to blank. Jesus died so I don't have to find my worth in what I do. Jesus died so I don't have to know all the answers. Jesus died so I don't have to hold a grudge. Jesus died so I don't have to please everyone all the time. Jesus died so I do not have to be a slave to my habitual sin. Jesus died so I don't have to be defined by my shame. Jesus died so I don't have to earn God's love. Fill in the blank. Friends, you are deeply known and deeply loved by Jesus himself, and he offers his very presence to you, not when life is stress-free, but precisely when we come to the end of ourselves. He will not leave us alone. He will not necessarily change our circumstances either. That should be said, right? Bummer. But he will give us more of himself through our seasons of weakness and weariness. How has Jesus been present with you in your stress? I wish that there was a button to push when things get a little stressful, a way to make it go away. But this side of Eden, stress is inevitable. So when life ramps up and challenges arise and stressors increase, take deep breaths, get outside, find time to move your body. Those are all great things to do. Here's my exhortation to you. Do those things with Jesus. Talk to him about it. Invite him into your stress. Surrender it to him as you consider what's actually going on, as you name it for what it is. And then as you move into the truth that you are deeply known and deeply loved by the very one who offered himself for you. This is actually, I think, the only truth that can move us from managing stress to surrendering stress to the one who holds all things together, is never caught off guard, and always knows what to do. Our stress and anxiety can offer an opportunity that we do not want to miss, an invitation to encounter Jesus in those places. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, it is no surprise to you that we are tired and weary and stressed out. There's so much going on at this time of the semester. Lord, I pray that we would all have eyes to see where you are at work, even in this crazy time. Lord, I pray for these students as they finish. Would they finish well and faithfully? Lord, would you be near to them? Would you help them to find you in these places, to seek you in these places? And Lord, would you comfort them? Would you strengthen the work of their hands? Would you establish the work of their hands as they finish? In Jesus' name, amen.